This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Let's hit it! Give me a vacation!
Vacation!
Give me a wave!
Surfing!
Give me a city tour!
The trolley!
Give me animals!
The zoo!
Give me some sea life! Give me museums!
Balboa Park!
Give me a woo!
Roller coaster!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and today we're talking about tamarind.
Yes, which a few of you have written in to suggest recently, and I literally did not know what it is.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I thought it was a spice.
Oh, it can be used as a spice, I guess, technically.
Yeah, yeah. When I saw pictures of it, I was like, oh, no, that's not what I was thinking at all. I'm certain that I've had it, and especially when I was in India, but I can't tell you more than that. I know it's in Pad Thai often, so you can see that episode that we've done, and Worcestershire sauce, which we also have done.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's about it.
Oh, I love tamarind. I don't think that I was aware of it until, I don't know, maybe like a decade or so ago. And I realized that it is one of the flavors that I really love in Pad Thai. And then I started seeing like tamarind candies in local markets. There's a Caribbean style or possibly Central American style. At any rate, yeah, that type of area, yeah, makes a little like tamarind paste candies with like chili powder, and they're they'll be like rolled in granulated sugar and sometimes like a little bit of salt in there too. And they're, oh, they're so good. And I want like one of them. And then after that, I'm like, okay, that was a lot.
That sounds delicious.
Oh, they're powerful and they're so good. Yeah. And I like doing the reading for this made me realize, like, why don't I have a jar of tamarind paste in my fridge? Because I feel like I would put it in everything the way that I put like gochujang and everything. And so,
right.
Yes, this is new project. Gonna make it happen. I also swear I'm gonna cook something that is not like macaroni and cheese one of these days, but.
Yep, I'm down to my ramen.
No, no.
It's never good, listeners.
When are you going to go to the grocery store? When is your trip planned, Annie?
I was supposed to go today, but I didn't go.
Oh, no.
So tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Tomorrow. Well, as long as you promise that you're going to go tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. I have enough for today, but tomorrow I must go.
All right.
let's venture out. I want tamarind soda. I don't know why. I don't really drink soda.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I got it in my head. That is something that I need. Also, this is another word that I just really enjoy. Tamarind.
Tamarind. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say before we get to our question, this one was a tricky, like I had to do a lot of creative Googling to get not a lot of information. Oh. So if there's any tamarind experts out there, we need you.
Yeah.
The world needs your expertise.
Yeah. I'll always get in touch. Oh my goodness. Listeners, if you are ever an expert in something that we happen to do an episode on, like get in touch. We want to hear from you. If you're like, well, dang, I wrote a whole book about that. Like we need to talk to you immediately. Waste no time.
Yes. Yes. So badly. We do want to hear from you. But okay, I guess we should get to our question.
Yeah.
Tamarind. What is it?
Well, tamarind is a type of fruit that grows on trees as a sweet and sour tropical bean paste. It does. I know it's strange. The trees, botanical name Tamarindus indica, are these big, broad, evergreen trees with these huge sprays of tiny little leaves that look kind of like feathery or like fern-like, kind of like a cartoon feather. The trees can reach like 80 to 100 feet in height. That's about 24 to 30 meters, with trunks like 6 feet thick, about 2 meters thick.
Wow!
Big old trees, yeah. They are in the legume family, Fabaceae. And the trees will put off just loads of these tiny little pink or yellow flowers that, when pollinated, develop into these long, broad, kind of like flat and bulbous brown pods, about 2 to 7 inches long. That's about 5 to 18 centimeters. And those will contain this juicy green pulp surrounding small seeds. And as the pulp matures, it will reach like a reddish or a brown color, and then the pods will dry on the tree, with that outer skin becoming a brittle shell and the pulp inside becoming a sticky paste. They're sometimes left for like half a year on the tree after the fruit matures so that they dry down to like 20% moisture content. And that pulp will be sweet and sour and bright and like a little bit earthy and sort of heady, almost like a sour molasses.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And it does lend itself to both sweet and savory preparations. It's made into, yes, candies and chutneys and jams. It's used in sauces and curries and marinades, made into syrups, used as a flavor in right sodas and other drinks or in frozen desserts. It can be used to make wine. I saw so many cocktail recipes as I was doing my reading. Like it's a margarita, but put some tamarind in it. Or like, it's a whiskey sour, but put some tamarind in it. And I was like, I need to drink all of these immediately. Why am I not? Why am I not drinking all of these?
Oh. I know. I ran into those too. And I was like, I mean, there's nothing like just diving right into an ingredient you literally didn't know what it was. As to, let's just make everything. Let's just try everything and make everything.
Yes.
The way.
It is a primary ingredient in the sauce for pad thai. It is in Worcestershire sauce and HP sauce as well. Common condiment for some types of chaat, like Indian street foods. Yeah, I've read about tamarind lemonade and agua fresca as being sources of like serious nostalgia for people from Palestine to Mexico and beyond. There is a sweeter variety grown mostly in Thailand and eaten mostly locally there. And I will say be careful with it in marinades because it does have a high acid content, which means, you know, it's great for like tough red meats and stuff like that, but it can chemically cook more delicate proteins like seafood, which if that's what you're going for like a ceviche or something like that, then great. But if it's unexpected, then yeah.
Bad times.
Bad times. Yeah. you can find whole dried tamarind pods in some markets in the United States. I've seen them in H Mart, I think. And sometimes compressed blocks of the pulp and seeds. But it's usually a little bit easier over here to find tamarind paste, often sold in jars or in blocks, either shelf-stable or frozen. It's also processed into a powder to use for seasoning. But in some places where they grow, the immature green pods are used in cooking as a sour seasoning, or the mature but not dry yet pods might be roasted and the pulp eaten that way. The leaves and flowers are also edible and sometimes added to salads or soups or stews. The trees are a popular ornamental or shade tree in the tropics, and the wood is used as well. The older wood from the heart of the tree is this like lovely purplish brown and pretty strong. So it's apparently really prized in like furniture making and stuff like that. And the seeds are edible too. They can be roasted and ground and used as a sort of flour or as a coffee substitute, or can be processed into a type of pectin for use in gelification or as a stabilizer in foods and other industries. The bark and flowers and fruits and leaves are also sometimes used in dyeing. It is a very, very dyeing, like coloration, not like
right.
death.
Sure.
That I'm aware of.
Well, we are going to talk about graves later.
Excellent.
Yes.
Saber goes goth. I've been waiting the whole time.
I know.
Yeah, no, a very, very useful tree overall. Yeah. I found so much not about food.
I know. The tree seems very prized and very loved
yes.
where it grows.
Yes.
And I have to say, this whole thing, like hearing your description of it, it's one of those episodes where I'm like, this is weird. This is weird that this grows on a tree. I love
right?
that it does.
Yeah. I was, as I was reading, I was just like, plants, y'all. What are they doing? Lots of stuff. They get up to stuff.
Huh. They do get up to stuff. Well, what about the nutrition?
You know, tamarind is kind of sugary, but does have lots of fiber and a good bit of protein. It is in the legume family. Also a good spread of minerals. It will help fill you up and keep you going. You know, pair it with a little bit of fat, maybe a vegetable, you know.
Always a vegetable.
Always eat a vegetable. And tamarind has been used in traditional medicines where it's grown for basically ever. Research is being done now on how it might be adapted into medicine going forward. The plant and especially the fruit do contain compounds that have antimicrobial, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and laxative effects. So it totally makes sense that it's been used to help heal wounds and relieve some pain topically, to help relieve constipation and other stomach upset. Further research is being done into extracts and how they might help treat cancer, cure bacterial infections, all kinds of things. As always, yes. Bodies are complicated. More research needs to be done before intaking a medicinal dose of anything. You should probably check with a medical professional, and that is not us.
Nope.
Not at all.
Not us. Mm. Not even close. Not even close. We do have some numbers for you. India is the world's largest producer of tamarind.
Yeah, they produce over 275,000 tons a year. Thailand comes in second with 140,000 tons a year. It's also grown in Central America and the tropics of South America, plus the Caribbean, Southeast Asia, and the South Pacific. Yeah, a lot of the numbers that I was looking for were... Well, A, hidden behind paywalls, but B, really separated out into these different market segments for tamarind kernel powder made from the seeds, for industrial uses, and tamarind extracts used as flavorings. So for whatever that's worth, that's the information that I have for you. That's it.
There you go. And I also... doing the research for this, I did run into a lot of accounts that I am always tickled by because my mom is somebody who actually, she really loves big trees. Like that's one of her things she likes to see.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just reading about, you know, how big they can get, but also how old they can get. And
yeah.
they can get, like there are stories about some of these trees being hundreds of years old. So
yeah.
Be sure to tell my mom.
Oh, yeah.
Tamarind tree fact. Like when we were in Tofino, Canada, we all got to choose an activity and hers was, I want to go to this place as these big trees.
Heck yeah. No, trees are pretty. I'm into that. Yeah.
It was awesome too. It was like, it felt like something out of a fantasy novel because it was the bridges were, you know, all rickety and.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. Anyway, we do have some history for you.
We do, but first we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino food ways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And yes, as we said at the top, and as Lauren and I were just discussing, there was some difficulty getting to the history of this one. And we suspect it has to do with being on America Google.
Yeah. I was cursing the fact that like I just haven't learned every language on the planet and that I therefore have, you know, a certain lack of access to a lot of the world's knowledge.
Yes. Yes. So if any listeners, again, you don't have to be an expert, but even just someone kind of like us, we very passionate. I don't know why I would say expert. Expert in nerd, food, awkward. There's like one very specific point.
There is. Yeah, that Venn diagram has a, yeah.
Yes. So any and all Tamarind facts, stories, information, welcome.
Yes. But here is what we have.
Yes. So Tamarind most likely originated in Africa, although some sources suggest that it's actually from India. But most historians think it was introduced and adopted in India so early on in that country that it often gets misreported as being from there, especially like in early days when, you know, you might have a connection. By you, I mean peoples or culture. You might have a connection to India or not Africa or vice versa. So it was mentioned in Indian scriptures sometime between 1200 to 200 BCE, which, yes, is a wide range. Charcoal wood analysis indicates that the tree was in India by 1300 BCE. However, I could only find that one place, but that's around the same time.
Yeah.
Whatever the case, the tree definitely appeared in India early in recorded history, and it was introduced to Persian and Arab peoples possibly around 6th century CE. From India, and they called it the Indian date, Tamarhindi.
Yeah. That naming might contribute to some of that confusion about where it's from, but
yes, absolutely. different episode, but Chutney in India goes back to 5th century BCE, and tamarind almost certainly went into some of those early chutneys. I would imagine early marinades as well. Going back to the 4th century BCE, the ancient Greeks and Egyptians were familiar with tamarind.
Yeah, it was being cultivated in Egypt by that time.
By the first millennium BCE, tamarind was in Asia. Okay, I love this. And I had trouble verifying it, but I wanted to share it. Apparently, Alexander the Great and his cohorts were really interested in the behaviors of the tamarind flower, that it closed at sunset and opened during sunrise.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So one of Alexander's generals recorded witnessing this while he was in what is now Bahrain in 4th century BCE. And Lauren, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because as we were discussing recently via text, we were discussing the trope in fan fiction of like modern AU settings where there's the coffee shop, it's set in a coffee shop or a bakery or a flower. And I'm reading a Star Wars one right now that I love that is set in a flower shop, and it has a flower that does this.
There are a number of flowers that do that. But that's really for anyone who's completely unfamiliar with the world of online fan fiction. Yes, that is a common trope that a fan fiction will be set in a alternate universe where the superheroes or whatever run a flower shop. I'm still so fascinated by how that just became a thing, just a whole thing.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with Victorian flower language being really fun. But anyway.
Darn it. Now I want to know all about that. Different podcasts. Rein yourself in. If anyone has any fan fiction questions, we can help you. We can help you.
Oh, heck yeah. Okay. All right. Alternate podcast when we finally run out of foods to talk about.
Oh my gosh. That is our fan fiction AU. Whoa. I blew my own mind.
Mind blown. Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. But back to tamarind before I get too distracted thinking about that. As you said, Lauren, throughout history, tamarind has been used medicinally for all kinds of things, from malaria, fever, constipation, diarrhea, stomach pain, inflammation, gonorrhea, eye issues, and for healing wounds, and a bunch of other stuff. I believe also an aphrodisiac.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what the suggested searches on Google tells me. I didn't go down that path, but
I did read, now I don't know what the source was and why I didn't include it specifically. So this might be suspect information, but I did read that it was used specifically to enhance women's sexual pleasure.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Huh. Oh. Tamarind was also used by travelers on long journeys to prevent scurvy. Accounts from the 1770s and 1790s show that Europeans ate tamarind and used it medicinally. Possibly the branches were also used for cleaning teeth and for switches. Huh. I don't know. Not sure about that, but I saw it in a couple places. The shade of the trees was reported as a popular meeting space in Africa and the Virgin Islands. As early as the 1500s, tamarind was introduced to Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central America, where it was incorporated into drinks and into candies, among other things. In some cultures, older trees and tree groves were viewed as spiritual and possibly as the dwelling of gods or spirits. And because of this, I found at least one paper surveying grave sites around tamarind trees.
Hmm.
So even if there wasn't a visible grave site, they often found bones near tamarind trees.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. One of the first recorded instances of tamarind in Hawaii dates back to 1797, though based on the fact that records show tamarind trees appeared in a bunch of surrounding areas much earlier, like the tropical Americas and the Bahamas, it very well may have been introduced to Hawaii before then. From the 1880 work, and I'm laughing because I really debated on whether I should say the whole title, but I suppose I will.
when I first was flipping through this outline, I assumed that was a mistake, and I was ready to italicize a lot of words, but then I was like, no, this is great. I see exactly why she included this. Please continue.
Yes. It is called Medicinal Plants, being descriptions with original figures of the principal plants employed in medicine and an account of the characters, properties, and uses of their parts and products of medicinal value. By Robert Bentley and Harry Truman. And yes, I thought that was a mistake too. I was like, surely. Here's a quote from that.
Subtitles. Love it.
Tamarinds have slightly laxative properties and are also refrigerant from the acids they contain. An infusion of tamarind pulp forms a very grateful and useful drink in febrile affections.
Mm.
Grateful and
grateful.
Useful drink.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Language.
Language. Soon after Worcestershire sauce was invented in the 1800s, tamarind was added. When the 1900s rolled around, tamarind had been naturalized in almost all tropical areas and adopted into the cuisines of those areas. The wood of tamarind, of the tamarind tree, was used in wood gas units in India up until World War II. And recently, Aisha Sissé's book, Beneath the Tamarind Tree, A Story of Courage, Family, and the Lost Schoolgirls of Boko Haram, came out in 2019. And as we said at the top, it seems like this tree is well-loved where it grows. And a lot of my search results were for books or documentaries or other pieces of entertainment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I find that really... really interesting, and I want to see the tree.
Yeah. Let's go.
I do have a VR set, and I think that is a thing you can do.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, maybe. Not the same, but until this pandemic's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Add it to our list. Our very, very long field
trip. Our extremely long list. Go somewhere with a tamarind tree.
Yes.
We have a lot of options, to be fair. So
we do. We do. And thanks to all the listeners who suggested this one. It was very fun for me to go in completely not knowing what it is. And then for it to be kind of strange. At least in how it grows. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. And especially coming off of Annie's first suggestion, or on the list of suggestions that Annie sent to me for this one, was passion fruit. And I was like, oh, passion fruit, totally passion fruit. Why haven't we done passion fruit yet? And then about 5 minutes later, she messaged me back and was like, dude, we've totally done passion fruit. So going from something that we have forgotten that we've already done a whole episode about to something that you didn't know what it was.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that episode is called Lily Koi. It was part of our Hawaii series. And also the listener who wrote in and suggested that, Lindsay, that episode does exist. We both forgot about it, though, so we don't blame
you.
So,
yeah, no shame.
But also, your other suggestion may or may not be coming up soon, so.
Hey. Cool.
And speaking of, we do have some listener mail for you.
We do, but first we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip together.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
Listener Mail.
Like breeze in a tree. Oh, haven't been outside in so long. Melissa wrote, this is by far my favorite way to enjoy chicken nuggets, Frankensteined into a meal that bears passing resemblance to a poutine.
Oh.
Yes, McDonald's most impressive quality for me has always been their ability to adapt their staples to local context, and I highly recommend this for anyone who comes across McDonald's in Quebec. I say this as a person who has tried to limit meat consumption as much as possible because of the ethical environmental issues around factory farming. Chicken McNuggets are pretty horrifying to me from that point of view, but I still find myself grabbing one of these about once a summer. Problematic food fave? Maybe.
Oh.
And Melissa sent a picture. This is an actual menu item.
Ah.
Yes. And I agree, Melissa. I've said I don't eat at McDonald's, but every time I go to a new country, I like to go into one and look at the menu and be like, wow, look what they've got at this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do love that, being in a different place and being like, what's on that? What?
I think this is, you know, easy to say when you grow up with something, but I feel like most McDonald's, international McDonald's, have better food options than we do.
Yeah. No, I think that you are not the only person to hold that opinion.
Okay.
It seems like that is what everybody says. Sean wrote, I am impressed that you made it through the entire whipped cream episode without a single Stewie Griffin, a Family Guy whip sound. I was raised in Avon, New York. It's the only place in the world that Cool Whip is made. My backyard growing up was bound by railroad tracks used to bring in corn syrup. I was able to tour the factory a few times. The Canadian versions of Cool Whip are noticeably sweeter. Perhaps the most interesting thing from the manufacturing process is that they use Sherwin-Williams industrial paint mixers to do the whipping. You are probably underestimating the size as you imagine it.
Okay, one, another field trip.
Yes.
I want to see this. Two, I think that it is very telling of my personality that the reference I made in that episode was not the very well-known and recognizable Family Guy. It was the Star Wars Holiday Special. I've had to sit with that and decide how I feel about it, but I'm okay with it. I'm glad
you're okay with it, because that is like the most Annie Reese thing that I've heard all day.
So that's probably the reference I should have made. Oh, well.
But thank you. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Important culture note. Yes.
We always love those important culture notes. And clearly we have areas that we... I'm saying we, but it's really me. too much knowledge on perhaps and not widespread knowledge. So, yes, we do appreciate it. Thanks to both of those listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts on iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.